Okay, at 3:17, we're calling the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. Please silence your cell phones. Members present today, we have Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Stutes, Vice Chair Wohl, Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, and Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Quito. We do have a quorum to conduct business and a full committee. So we've got one bill before us today. That bill is House Bill 2, Private Employer Voluntary Veterans Preference. We intend to hear this bill, open public testimony, and hold it to a near future meeting and address any comments or questions that are raised during our hearing. So if Representative Tuck could come forward, present the bill, place your name and district on the record, and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. I'm Representative Chris Tuck, representing District 22, South Central Anchorage. And joining me is my staffer, Kendra Kloster. I keep almost wanting to call her my committee chair, because she does represent my committee with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. So House Bill 2 is, thank you for hearing this bill today. This will allow optional veteran hiring preferences for private employers by taking advantage of an option available underneath the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And under that, Section 11 allows special rights of preferences to be granted to veterans as long as they are authorized under federal, state, or local law. So today we have 37 states that have adopted similar legislation, and five other states, including Alaska, are considering this this year. And this is a nationwide effort by the Department of Defense trying to make this possible in all 50 states. Currently, all 50 states and the District of Columbia, Guam, Puerto Rico, they do award preferences to veterans in initial hiring for public employment. However, private employers are prohibited from establishing comparable business hiring practices unless specific legislation is passed allowing this option. And this is what we're hoping to do with House Bill 2. So for veterans, the road to employment can be very difficult, especially returning into civilian life. And according to a 2012 survey of veterans from all eras, two-thirds of the veterans identify finding a job as the greatest challenge in their transition. As of November 2016, last year, the National Bureau of Labor Statistics show the jobless rate for young male veterans aged 18 to 24 still exceed their civilian counterparts. The military discharges about 160,000 active duty service members and approximately 110,000 reserve and National Guard service members each year. According to the Defense Manpower Data Center 2015 data, over 2,000 military personnel returned to Alaska upon separation. So Alaska is home to one of the highest number of veterans per capita. We have always prided ourselves in being a leader in supporting our veterans and active duty members. Alaska is also home to many great businesses who are willing and able to assist our veterans in employment endeavors. It is time we extend this opportunity for employers to the private sector to adopt a veteran hiring practice if they so choose. And House Bill 2 is supported by the Department of Defense, the National Federation of Independent Business Alaska, and the employer support of the Guard and Reserve.
So do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, first of all, Representative Tuck, I really like your bill. I think it's a good bill, and I think it's fair, and I think it's the right thing to do. But what's the Alaska Naval Militia?
Would you like to hear for that one, Kendra?
Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Chris Tuck. Under Alaska, we have a number of different organizations that fall under our militia, and that includes Alaska State Defense Force, Air Guard, Army Guard. What am I missing?
Territorial Guard.
Yes, and we have the Territorial Guard that that all fall underneath this piece of legislation. And also, if I may, to the chair, outline a couple of the changes that were done in the last committee. Since there were some updates that were done.
Certainly,
in the military and Veterans Affairs.
Make sure you're on the record.
Yes, Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Chris Tuck. So The Military and Veterans Affairs, they expanded the private employer preference to active National Guard members. And in addition, we also removed a requirement that is in our current statute right now for our public employers, which right now, as we have National Guard, they're able to use a public employer preference. However, there's an eight-year requirement in there, so the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee decided to remove that eight-year, so the public and private employer preference would be the same for active National Guard members. And the last change was replaced the term honorably discharged to discharge under honorable conditions. It's just some terminology changes that requested by the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and the committee. So it will include honorable discharge and general discharge.
Thank you. Any questions for the bill sponsor, Ms. Kloster? Representative Birch, I believe you had a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question in the sponsor statement. It says private employers are prohibited from establishing comparable business hiring practice unless specific legislation. And just a clarification again with the sponsor. Do I understand it to mean that absent this legislation, if you're a private employer, wherever that might be, and you have a returning veteran and somebody who is not a returning veteran, side by side, all equal qualifications, that you would be prohibited or have some risk or exposure to hiring the veteran, basically hiring the veteran because you chose to?
Yes, that's correct. But all things being equal, I think you still can choose one person over another person. But you can't do a veteran hiring preference and have that as a policy without this piece of legislation. So currently we are allowed to do that underneath public employment. And so, but if you have, if all things being equal and you have, except for maybe one person has years of experience in the private sector and you want to have the years of experience of someone in the veterans, in their military or active duty, you're able to pick that over the experience that they have with the private sector. So it all depends on really what the criteria is for the employer, but they can have a criteria set for veteran hiring preference.
So that wouldn't prohibit, I mean, if this were not to pass, you would still be able to basically hire the veteran if you chose to as a private employer.
So those are reminders and direct questions and answers through the chair.
Thank you. And through the chair, yes, all things being equal in the scenario that you created, I don't think a person would be in violation, all things being equal, mm-hmm. and you decide to pick the veteran hire preference. But if things aren't so equal and you decide to hire the veteran, you wouldn't be able to do so without this piece of legislation.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions? We do have Bob Dahl, Deputy Commissioner of Department of Military and Veterans Affairs online. Mr. Dahl, do you have any prepared testimony, or are you just available for questions?
Mr. Chairman, Deputy Commissioner Bob Dahl of Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, just want to say the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs supports this bill. Our veterans population is growing by about 5% per year, and we think this is important to keeping them employed as they do come into the state. It's mostly workers coming in, so we affirmatively support it. Would like to also clarify the Alaska Naval Militia as we carry out that program are members of the Federal Navy Reserve and Federal Marine Corps Reserve, who are Alaskans who have also chosen voluntarily to also affiliate with the state of Alaska and be available for state disasters here. Long and short, we support this legislation. We think it's a great way forward in terms of what we need to do. And the Alaska Territorial Guard, as you'll notice, is no longer there. We don't believe that would touch upon working age folks we're not sure the Alaska Territorial Guard would touch upon working age folks this time. I stand corrected on that. But I did want to clarify the A&M definition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dole. Questions, Representative Josephson?
Thank you. Through the chair. Representative Tuck, I'm glad you brought this. The thing that just astounds me about this is the Civil Rights Act passed the year I was born. I know how long ago that is. And I just don't understand how this has just not come up before. How did this get missed?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, it has come up before. We did pass this out of the House and went all the way through the Senate, sat in the Rules Chair's committee in the Senate side until the session ran out. So this is something that passed unanimously out of this body once before.
Question from Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, Representative Tuck, I read this too, and I also thought it was a good bill. I didn't see any issues with it, but I have to ask a question in your bullet point two on the memo of changes to HB 2. When it says, and I'm just, this is information for me, replaced honorably discharged or discharged under honorable conditions. So I guess I'm looking, I've always been familiar with honorable and dishonorable discharges, so I'm looking for that clarification. I guess what I'm trying to ask you, sir, is if you are discharged under less than favorable conditions, I think an employer needs to be made aware of that. So that's where I'm going. I'm trying to find out what this is really saying. So.
Okay, and so if I may, through the chair, as Representative Chris Tuck, I'll lean on Deputy Commissioner Bob Dole here in just a moment. But one of the things that we were looking at is we wanted to have something that's other than dishonorable discharge. And that includes honorable discharge and general discharge. And this is the language that keeps things, everything consistent with federal, the federal legislation. And so I will allow Deputy Commissioner Bob Dole to explain the difference between a general discharge and an honorable discharge.
Thank you. And Deputy Commissioner Dole?
Through the chair, Deputy Commissioner Dole, DMDA. What this language does, first, it's consistent with federal law in recognizing those individuals who did not get a dishonorable discharge and are still entitled to federal veterans benefits. Second, it encompasses those service members who served frequently in combat but who had a small hiccup that does not get them an honorable discharge but instead a general discharge. For instance, they deployed to Iraq several times but they could not pass their last physical fitness test, or they had another matter like that. It's a small blemish that takes away from their overall conduct and results in a general discharge despite serving this country frequently of this generation in time of war. And being consistent with the federal law, we give employers the opportunity also to recognize that level of service as appropriate for a veteran's preference.
Then I may follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Representative Knopf.
So then, but a dishonorable discharge still exists in the military, and if an individual is discharged with a less than desirable outcome, they are not eligible for this program? Do I understand that correctly?
Through the chair, Representative Knopf, if a service member gets a dishonorable discharge, they are not eligible for a veteran's preference. If they get a, and that would be usually a criminal conviction in a court martial or something very, very serious happening. This would also be consistent with federal law. There is a dishonorable discharge, and for a dishonorable, they would not this program would not recognize a veteran's preference.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's what I was looking for.
Thank you. Any further questions for the bill sponsor or Mr. Dahl? Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for either Representative Tuck or Mr. Dole. But if an employer, this is a voluntary program, so if they sort of volunteer to have a preference, is it something that has to be sort of stated or published, or does there have to be some kind of documentation, and so that if someone maybe challenges a hire, or if someone doesn't get hired, you can say, well, this is my policy, I have a military or veteran preference? Or is it, can it just be stated by the employer?
And through the chair, Representative Chris Tuck, no, they would not have to have something written, but this does allow them to have something written as well and not being in violation of any state laws or federal laws. If they do happen to hire someone on a veteran's hire preference, whether they have written documents or written procedures or not, they are still protected.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We also have Verdi Bowen, online director of Veterans Affairs Alaska, available for questions. Mr. Bowen, did you have any testimony you wanted to provide?
this is Bertie Bowen. No, I don't have anything to add that Deputy Commissioner Bob Dole has already stated. I just believe that this is a very positive bill and would have positive outcome for those veterans reaching out to receive employment, especially those that are just returning from Afghanistan or Iraq.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any questions. We're going to go ahead and move on to public testimony.
Go for it. Yep, public testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Public testimony is open, and we have two people signed up. We have Mark Sansucci, Ledge Liaison, Department of Defense, Lakewood, Washington. Mr. Sansucci, can you put your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Committee. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Mark Sansucci. I'm a retired Air Force officer, and I am the Department of Defense Regional State Liaison for the Northwestern States, including Alaska, working for the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policy. I've been listening to everything, and I always love to follow staff and then Deputy Commissioner Dole, because I'll just try and add a couple of points so I won't be redundant. This is the third year that DOD's been working on this issue in the states, and to that point where we've reached the point where 37 states have made the adjustments and are providing this policy, including not including the ones taking it up this year. We actually embraced this policy because the National Conference of State Legislators, the NCSL group, which I know Representative Stadler sits on, and that there's a Veterans Military Task Force embraced this issue 3 years ago. So that's how it kind of came to fore, because of the hesitancy of private employers to have a policy and fearing those problems under Section 11 you guys have already talked about. The need is still there. I think I have 2016 separation data versus the 2015. 2015 was 2004 that Kendra mentioned. It's 2009 for 2016. So what that tells you is that as we're continuing to draw down the number of people that are going to continue to retire or separate from active reserves and National Guard and call Alaska home is going to pretty much remain static or maybe even go higher. And so you'll continue to see more new veterans with unique skill sets, proven work ethic, and reliability. And I might want to add that training that they've endured and experienced, you have already paid for. We've all paid for them already by paying our federal taxes. So with that, I stand for any questions, and thank you for the opportunity to express Department of Defense support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sansucci. Are there any committee questions? Don't see any questions. We can go on to Russell Ball from Anchorage. Mr. Ball, can you put your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony?
I can. Hopefully you can hear me okay. My name is Russell Ball. I'm a small businessman here in Anchorage, Alaska, and I wanted to call and lend my support to the bill. When I first started learning about it, you know, as a small businessman, anytime we start talking about a hiring preference, there's always some concern, because you always are at risk, for the person that didn't get the job on whether everything was done, you know, both legally and fairly. And so for me, I have interest in this workforce because they are disciplined, they are trained, they're reliable. And so the ability as a small business to, you know, use that within our employment advertising and employment activities to encourage people to apply for our open positions, you know, is something that we have interest in. We think it's, I believe it's good for the state, you know, to be able to retain, that portion and move them into the private workforce, and you know, and it's you know, finding good qualified help is really always an issue, and so you know, having this bill pass, you know, allows me to move forward with some of that without it being at risk, you know, that the individuals that didn't get the job are going to file lawsuits and come back after us associated with that, and. So for, you know, a number of reasons, I'm in support of it, and I wanted to call in today and provide that.
Thank you, Mr. Ball. Any questions for Mr. Ball? Don't see any questions from the committee. That is all I had signed up for the bill. I do see that we have a couple of people in the room. I don't know if they're any interest in testifying or just available for questions. Okay. I am going to keep public testimony open, and we will bring the bill back up before us in one of our near upcoming meetings. And I don't see anything else before us on the agenda, so we will be coming back here at 4:30 for Department of Labor budget closeout. So don't go too far. And with that, our House Labor and Commerce meeting for Wednesday, February 22nd is adjourned.